This podcast is produced in part by Podfly.net. Podfly, passion for great sounding podcasts.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of Overseas Radio Network or broadcast partners. All information provided is for educational purposes only. Before taking action, consult a licensed professional.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
This week on Columbia Calling with me, your host Richard McCall, here in Columbia, we'll be talking to Jeff Young, an American, an author, the brains behind the website Career Break Secrets. So for all of you expats out there or wannabe expats out there thinking of making a break, thinking of getting out of the 9-to-5, getting out of the grind and making that dream happen, you should be listening to this show, Columbia Calling, interviewing Jeff Young of CareerBreakSecrets.com. He'll shortly be on a book tour in the Western United States, so you can catch him there talking about how to make it happen, how to get out there, how to take some time off from your hectic life. I mean, of course, you'll be listening to the man who's done it himself. We'll be talking about Colombia in the World Cup as well in the first segment of the show. This is a great show to be listening to. Colombia Calling with me, your host, Richard McCall.
The world is a beautiful place, so listen up. The Overseas Radio Network.
We know you want to grow your business and directly engage your customers and clientele. Podcasting is the way to go, and Podfly has your solution. Whether you're a blogger, writer, business owner, entrepreneur, or service provider, Podfly makes it easy for anyone to have a professionally produced and distributed podcast. Get started today at podfly.net, and let's get your message truly heard. Podfly.net, passion for great-sounding podcasts.
Ready to learn about a new life overseas? You're at the right place. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
It's that time of the week again. I'm here, Richard McCall, your host for Columbia Calling, here in Columbia, talking all about everything that's going on in Columbia, this newly fashionable destination. We'll be talking later on in the show to Jeff Young. He's the brains behind CareerBreakSecrets.com. You know, the man who can make it all happen to you or help you and sow that seed that if you want to get out of the 9-to-5 grind there at the office. This is a man who left corporate America and ended up traveling the world, living in Colombia after a while. And now, you know, he'll be on his book tour of the Western United States later on, earlier on next year, in fact. So that's a very interesting interview that we'll be doing with Jeff Young. Please check out his website, CareerBreakSecrets.com. What else can, well, I mean, there's no other news here in Colombia apart from, well, if we start with the peace dialogues, they're addressing the issue of drug trafficking and the drug trade. Very interesting third point on the agenda going on in Havana between the FARC rebels and the government, because the drug trade obviously is what sustained the FARC all of this time. I mean, it's, apart from other things, kidnapping and extortion and whatever else, but the drug trade stands alone as one of the major sources of income for the FARC. So it's interesting, and they've played in a very interesting chess game in saying that the US and Europe should be involved in this talk. So we'll see how this pans out. This is probably one of the, I mean, it's probably not the most technical of the points on the agenda, given that political participation and reconciliation will always be very, very controversial. But so, yes, that's what's going on there. And so we wait and see. I mean, we know that Colombia are pushing for the Colombian president Juan Manuel Santos is pushing for a debate on the legalization of these illicit substances. And of course, this would be positive in terms of Colombia. So who better to know about what to do than the FARC guerrillas? And we're rolling on in, and it's almost the end of the year. We're at the end of the year now, but it's almost the end of the year. And of course, 2014 will be a presidential election year. And yes, the troops are being rallied and the lies are being spread and the talk is all only of elections. Ingrid Betancourt was touted as a possible presidential candidate. So was Navarro Wolf. And these would all both be in the Green Party. That's not environmentally green, just a green alliance. But they've both pulled out, so we're waiting to see. Very exciting times, of course. Anyway, so you can check out our website at columbiacallingradio.com. You can follow me on Twitter at columbiacalling and keep up to date with all that's going on in Colombia at the time, at this present time. But what else can I say? Well, we've just had this weekend, well, on Friday, last Friday, the World Cup draw. That's the World Cup, Football World Cup. The draw out in Brazil. It was done in Salvador, in Bahia, beautiful northeastern, you know, the first port in Brazil, the entrance of the slaves from Cuba via Trinidad. Anyway, so yes, they did the draw, and Colombia, I have to say, they came up trumps. So drawn first, obviously, because they were a seeded team. So they're in Group C, C for Colombia, and as other people are saying, C for campeón. Anyway, Colombia have got Greece, Japan and the Ivory Coast. Now, Japan are the best in Southeast Asia, and Greece scraped through against Romania in the sort of playoff race out of Europe. And of course, then they've got the Ivory Coast, the best team out of Africa. But by no means should Colombia be, sort of trembling at the knees over this group. Colombia have a very talented team with the likes of Radamel Falcao of Monaco, James Rodriguez of Monaco, Quintero, Jackson Martinez, Magnelli Torres. There are players worthwhile playing for the Colombia team. What we can't do is big them up too much. We can't. I think they've got a steady run all the way through the quarterfinals. Of course, my interests come to a head when we think that if England manage to get through their Group D, Group of Death, they possibly will meet Colombia in the second round. So that's when I will be at loggerheads at whom to support. But anyways, Colombia, we're talking about Colombia here. Colombia look certain favourites for that group. I think they'll have the hardest game, of course, against the Ivory Coast, the Costa de Marfil. But I think they'll be able to wear down Greece with people like James and Magnelli Torres. And against Japan, yeah, it's the likes of Quintero and Jackson Martinez who should be being physical against the Japanese side. So we'll wait and we see. Anyway, the Colombians must be happy with this draw because it could have been like England and drawn Italy and Uruguay and Costa Rica. It could have been like Germany drawing Portugal and also the group with Spain, Holland, Chile and Australia. It's a terrible group to be drawn in. So very exciting times for Colombia. First time back in the World Cup since France when they were knocked out in the same group as England and Romania. And of course, previous to that, they'd been in the World Cup where they were the dark horses in the USA and didn't make it out of the group round. And of course, there was that dreadful murder of Andres Escobar, the team captain, for the own goal in a car park in Medellin. So we're trying to put the joy back into Colombian football. We're trying to put the joy back into this nationally uniting game. And so Colombia will do well to get behind their team. And I don't think that we're asking a lot of them to do that because I think everyone will be draped in yellow and with the national flag during games against Japan, Greece, and the Ivory Coast. So it will be a fiesta here in Colombia. So don't go away. We'll be coming right back after this short break with interviews with Jeff Young from Virginia, if I'm not mistaken, Fredericksburg originally. And no, Texas, Fredericksburg. Anyway, so he'll be talking about the career break secrets, how to break out of your 9 to 5 or 8 to 6, or, you know, all these things are getting longer. So don't go away. We'll be back with Jeff Young right after these breaks. This is Columbia Calling. I am your host, Richard McCall.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Okay, you're not stupid. You see the handwriting on the wall. You're thinking about joining the millions of Americans who have already left the country. But where do you go? You don't want to make the mistake of jumping from the frying pan into the fire. You need accurate info to make one of the most important decisions of your life. You need EscapeTheUSAnow.com. You don't want to have regrets because your expat country collapsed due to crime, conflict, disease, famine, natural disaster, scarcity, war, or a government gone bad. Only at EscapeTheUSAnow.com will you discover the handful of countries that offer true freedoms and unbelievable opportunities that most people could only dream of. EscapeTheUSAnow.com is the information you cannot afford not to have. Information that took over 30 years to research, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars, with more than a quarter of a million miles traveled. For less than $2.50 per month, you can have what may be the most life-saving information you have ever obtained. EscapeTheUSAnow.com, so you don't jump from the frying pan into the fire.
Have you always dreamed of living abroad, but you are afraid it might be difficult? JustLanded.com helps you make the move. The free information on JustLanded.com helps you get a job, find a house, and a good school for your children. You can also meet other expats in our online community. Visit www.justlanded.com and find out how easy it is to live your dream abroad. That's justlanded.com.
You've got questions about Colombia, and Escape Artist has answers. Is Colombia a good fit for me and my plans? How do I buy a house, find a job, find a doctor, start a business, invest in real estate? What should I know to better appreciate its history, its culture, its opportunities? What is it really like to be an expat in Colombia? You'll find your answers at colombia.escapeartist.com, your complete and trusted guide for living, working, playing, investing, and retiring in Colombia. That's colombia.escapeartist.com.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall. And as I mentioned earlier, we're here with Jeff Young. Jeff is a Texan native, but he's been living here in Colombia since 2009. And why is Jeff on the show? Well, he is the author, the creator, the brains behind CareerBreakSecrets.com. And as this is a, you know, an expat show, and this is a pull show, this is to bring you down to Colombia or to think about what you're doing in your life, and or if you need a break, I mean, who better than to advise you than the man behind Career Break Secrets. Jeff, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for that introduction.
now you came down to Colombia in 2009 having taken a career break. And what did you find here when you, why Colombia?
Well, I spent the first part of my career break in South America. So yep. Argentina, Chile, Ecuador, Peru, et cetera, kind of doing the trail. I was studying Spanish as well. That was one of my goals in my career break. And I started hearing from other backpackers, you know, you should go to Colombia, you should try working in Colombia. Mm-hmm. And at that point, that was 2007, I was a little bit like, well, I don't know. Yeah. Okay, I'm hearing good things, but is it really safe? And so I decided to extend my time in South America, and I thought, okay, This is a time to go to Colombia. Everyone's been talking about it. Let's go. So I booked a flight to Bogota. And I booked a flight in a really nice hotel because I was like, okay, is it really safe? And I got here and I was really blown away.
Yeah.
And so I rented an apartment for about 3 months. I spent most of it in Bogota and some in Cartagena. And I loved it here. I loved the people. Maybe it was a sense of low expectations when I first got here. But, you know, I was able to walk around and I was able to go and see there were these amazing sites that nobody had seen yet. And they weren't well known.
Yeah.
when I would go out to places around Colombia to go visit, to do weekend trips or long weekends or whatever, I was traveling with Colombians. I wasn't traveling with other foreigners. Mm-hmm. And there's just something about that that just got me, and I loved it here. And then through the course of being here, I met somebody, mm-hmm. and then came back at the end of 2008 for a couple months, mm-hmm. went back home for the holidays, and then 2009 officially moved down.
And you've been making your life here, and but what as an expat living here, and you've got this incredibly famous website, careerbreaksecrets.com, which has expanded from a blog to webisodes, and now there's a TV show. And I also know we met because you were sort of fact checking and updating the National Geographic guide to Colombia. So of course, there was a connection there, but you work in what is essentially, if we were in England, it would be Open University. I don't know what the equivalent would be in the States, but here it's called the Sena. I mean, you meddle in everything here. So, I mean, you are the living, breathing embodiment that you can make it happen if you come down and if you are driven. I mean, just tell us a little bit about your work experience in Colombia.
The whole goal with Career Break Secrets has always been, well, when I first got here, I had a look around and decided, do I want to go into the workforce again? Mm-hmm. I'd come from a corporate background, and so I thought, okay, you know, I can go into the working world here in Colombia, or I can do something entrepreneurial. And I wanted to stay and travel and see if I could make a go of it, because everybody knows you make a lot of money travel writing, because that's the most lucrative
You can see the bags under my eyes.
Right. So, no, but I wanted to do something more entrepreneurial. Mm-hmm. The local wages, not that I expected to make U.S. wages in Colombia, but the local wages are, there's quite a difference.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, well, let me try and do my own thing. And if it doesn't work out, then I can always go back to corporate.
Yeah.
You know, Colombia, U.S., whatever. And so I started off doing the entrepreneurial thing. Over time, because the show took a little bit longer to get off the ground than I anticipated, mm-hmm. I needed to supplement my income. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing freelancing.
Yeah.
And what I did is I fell back on hard skills that I could, you know, somebody would hand me a project and I could turn them in a real deliverable, something mm-hmm. real. And that started with translations, and it started with voiceovers.
Yeah.
And because I was doing the show, like, the voiceover was kind of a natural fit. And the translations, I mean, you probably have this as well, but every time you meet somebody, they're like, oh, do you translate? Oh, do you give English classes?
Yeah.
And because I had studied and I had enough background experience, my Spanish was at a good enough level, I started doing that, Spanish to English translations. That then led, over time, a client recommended me to the SENA, which, mm-hmm. For people who don't know, the SENA is a really great organization. I'm really glad to be part of it. It's a free vocational training school that has two basic types of areas we're focused on. One are students who are coming out of high school, sometimes still in high school, to mm-hmm. give them vocational skills. And these are people who come out of strata 1 and 2 primarily.
So we're talking about a low-income family.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this, and the SENA is their path to get some basic skills to be able to get a job, coming out of high school after a couple of years of study, or they go on site to businesses and they help train businesses. And their scope is about 7 million students a year out of a country about 48 million.
Yeah.
So they have a huge footprint. So to be able to be part of their group, and I work in the international relations group doing the translations, mm-hmm. You know, to be that connection between companies that want to come into Colombia, mm-hmm. And bringing their technology, bringing their skills, and then training the students of tomorrow. I mean, for me as an immigrant here, it's really satisfying.
Yeah.
So I enjoy that.
That's really cool. I mean, you got very good background on what the center is. So you got low income families, it's almost like apprenticeships for low income, let's say, students, and then this gives them it formalizes an education to allow them to become, let's say, technicians, etc. There, I know there are people can be guides, or they can study languages and stuff, or even like nursing, things like that.
No, they have everything from gastronomy. I mean, I just did a training class mm-hmm. with a Chinese company, telecommunications company, who's training the instructors on 4G technology. Because 4G is about to take off in Colombia, so they're training the instructors on how to teach tomorrow's technicians on how to put up a tower.
Fantastic. And you are involved. I mean, you're there in the center. So you're seeing firsthand an inclusive sort of education system here in Colombia.
It's really wonderful. Uh-huh. And they're in every possible field. So I might one day be with the gastronomy folks, the next day with oil and mining, the next day with the technology or whatever. It's very cool.
I think it's really interesting to hear from that, and you know, it shows over time. I mean, we're in 2013 right now. You've been here since 2009 full time, as a 4-year stretch, and you are involved in society. You are an active participant, so you're showing it can be done.
It can be done. You have to hustle.
Yeah,
you must hustle. I mean, it's not gonna come to you, but those opportunities do exist, and once people. What I found is once people find out about you, and if you've got those kinds of skills that they need, hard skills that they need, that really plays to your benefit, because, as you know, living here, relationships matter. Relationships are everything. Yeah. And if you have a good relationship, it opens a lot of doors. And if you have a bad relationship, it keeps them closed.
It's really true. Everything is all about. It's all about the coffee, the handshake, meeting. It's everything. Business is done not by emails. No one's going to answer an email here in Colombia. I mean, that's what I find.
I have a funny story about that. So in Colombia, the norm here with cell phones, not so much email, but with cell phones, is I call you and you don't answer.
Yeah.
So instead of leaving you a message, I'm going to call you again. And again, and again, and again. And I was asking some friends at the same. This is the benefit of working locally. I asked some friends at the same one day. I was like, why does this happen? Why don't you leave a message? Well, I don't ever read my messages or listen to my voicemails. Yeah. And I tend to delete my voicemails. That's okay. If I call you and you don't answer, you call me and I don't answer, what is your assumption?
Yeah.
My assumption is that you don't want to talk to me. So I'm going to keep calling you to make you talk to me, versus the assumption, at least in the U.S., if I don't answer your phone call, I'm busy.
Yeah.
So leave a message and I'll get back to you when I can. And it's just one of those cultural differences that if you don't understand, will drive you bananas.
I understand it. But, you know, I come out of the cinema or something, 16 missed calls from my manager and mom, boss. And my reaction is like, good God, someone's died. You know that's it. And it just drives me insane. And now I understand. I was talking about this with some fellow students. I just, you know, finished my course here. And they said, well, you have to call twice to a woman. Why? Because I find looking for a phone at the bottom of the bag. You know, it's taking that much time. So, I understand to a point. One. But, you know, just incessant, you know, redial.
Well, and then you call and you say, okay, what's wrong? What's the emergency? No, I, like if it's my mother-in-law. No, I just want to see if you ate.
Yeah, it's very true, very true. Well, we're here with Jeff Young, who's the brains behind CareerBreakSecrets.com, who's made his life for the last 4 years here in Bogota, Colombia, traveling to and fro, Bogota, Cartagena, and so on. And we'll be coming back to talk more about his life here in Colombia and, of course, about Career Break Secrets for those of you thinking of taking a career break. I'm Richard McCall, and this is Colombia Calling.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
This is Jason Hartman, and I want to welcome you to the Jet Setter Show blogcast, an audio version of our written blog at jetsettershow.com. You can find the full-length podcast at jetsettershow.com or on iTunes, where we interview thought leaders and experts on exploring lifestyle-friendly destinations worldwide. Here is today's blogcast.
Thank you, Jason. It seems almost silly to ask, but if you're going to be living abroad, why wouldn't you want to learn the language? Do you want to make life more difficult for yourself? If you're going to the time, expense, and risk of living abroad, give yourself the best chance for success by actually being able to communicate with your new neighbors, at least on some level of proficiency. A recent article in Escape from America magazine caught our attention. In it, writer Paul Allen wrote about his experience at a conference in Vienna, attended by folks from all over Europe and the Middle East. Allen was amazed at the level of English skill exhibited by attendees who were using it as their second or even third language. Yes, English is still the language of business, but that sentiment is not going to do you much good when you're trying to buy a bar of soap in Managua. Don't be the ugly American who thinks the rest of the world should bend to your accident of birth. Allen went on to quote a 2005 European Commission study, which reported that the following percent of adults in these countries were able to converse in English. Sweden, 85%, Denmark, 83%, Netherlands, 79%, and Luxembourg, 66%. Add to these amazingly high numbers that over 50% speak English in Finland, Slovenia, Austria, Belgium, and Germany. Kind of makes us look inadequate, huh? A Dutch friend who Allen spoke with told him that she believes that American television had a great influence, since the shows run with Dutch subtitles rather than being dubbed. A last tidbit for you. English is the third most spoken language in the world, after Mandarin Chinese and Spanish. Americans planning on living abroad in a Central American country, take heed. They speak Spanish there. For more, visit jetsettershow.com. For the Jet Setter Blogcast, I'm Will Weeks.
Thanks for listening to this audio blog, and please see disclaimers and important information at the website.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
And we're back, and for those of you who are just tuning in, we're talking to Jeff Young, a Texan based here in Bogota. He's been here since 2009. We've been talking a little bit about the nuances of life here in Colombia, and of course, telephone calls, but really what we're going to deal with here in this segment of the show is I want to talk about career break secrets. So this is it's no secret, this show is an expat show, and career break secrets. I'm pretty sure, it's pretty obvious what you're trying to do, but you're promoting people taking a break.
That's right.
Tell us about this website.
Yeah, I started it right after my career break, and when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do in travel and what my in would be, they say write about what you know, do what you know. I was like, well, I just took this career break and met a lot of other people taking a career break, and I had such a great time. Like I said, okay, I'll just stay focused on that. And at that point, there was really only one other website, and frankly, there are really only three that I know of in the world that provide independent advice on this. There's Meet Plan Go in the U.S., and then in U.K. there's a new one that just started called Career Break 360.
Right.
Yeah, and they're pretty new. They're pretty new, Most the difference between my site and a lot of other travel blogs and websites is a lot of those tend to focus on the destination, mm-hmm. or they focus on the blogger themselves, and they're very personality driven about where they're going, what their next trip is, and you sort of follow them because you like them and that type of thing. Yeah. I have some of that, but it's really more about the inspiring people and the advice on how do I get started, can mm-hmm. I really do this, can I afford it, how do I leave my job, what are the tips before you leave a job. And going from there, so it's a lot of how to type of advice and trying to be help people to say, hey, you can do this. Tell other people's stories about who has done this, mm-hmm. Whether it's videos or written interviews, and then say, okay, now you have decided that you think you can do this. Here's how you do it from start to finish, all the way through reentry. And how do you get back into the workforce?
Yeah, I saw on the website there's almost like a trip planner, isn't there? How to sort of. I guess part of it is how to budget and how time as well. Not only the financial side, but the time.
Yeah, and the two are, of course, linked because when you go on the career break, you have no more income coming in for that time.
Yeah.
And so what I tell people to do is plan for sort of three phases.
Yeah.
One is the phase from once you leave the job until you get on the plane and go and what your expenses are going to be then. Then there's the time on the road. And your expenses while you're traveling, which is actually the cheapest part of your budget from a daily perspective. And then once you get back and you look for that job when you go back to work, how much time do you need to do that? Mm-hmm. And so those are the three main components of a budget to think about how you how much money you're going to need. Mm-hmm. And then for a career break, I say that you need at least a month because it takes you just a little bit to sort of just actually.
Just disconnect.
And get out of your normal routine.
Mm-hmm.
And that can last up to, the average is probably, 3 to 6 months for a career break.
Yeah.
But you can certainly, some people take a year, some people take a small percentage, take even longer.
Yeah, me.
And then I think the other important fact for people to know is about 70% of people who take career break will go back to their career or their job. They're not looking to become an expat like I did or do something completely different. They literally just want a break and just, they want that time to go walk the Camino de Santiago. They want that time to, you know, do something, you know, go pick up a new skill or go volunteer for a long time at an organization. You know, whatever it is that, that's sort of burning within them.
It's almost, a lot of times the career break can be something altruistic. You're, like you're saying, work, do some voluntary work. I mean, we're so bombarded with images of all the, I guess, you know, let's say all the dreadful happenings across the world. You know, you're sitting in your relative comfort, let's say in an office in London or in Houston or wherever, you know, okay, I got to be giving something back, maybe. Do you get a lot of people like that contacting you?
No. People who want to volunteer, yeah, that is one of the major activities that career breakers want to do. Yeah. And I think because the nature of work today, people are so busy, they're working, you know, many more hours.
Yeah.
There's not that much time that's left in for the family or for their friends and their social life. And so time to volunteer is almost mm-hmm. gone in your normal life. So on a career break, you can go and volunteer for a week or 3 weeks or 3 months even. I've met people who volunteered for long term.
Wow.
And depending on the type of volunteer activity, right? So if you want to teach, you probably need to be there for at least a full semester.
Sure.
Type of thing.
Sure. And I mean, you get contacted. I mean, how many, for example, people, I imagine, because you are like the leading authority on the web now, is it career break? So this page here is not a new startup. You've been around. How many people contact you, let's say on a monthly basis, or how many hits do you get?
I get quite a few thousand people coming to the website every month.
Wow.
So, and that's just people, and I haven't even been publishing a lot recently,
yeah,
because I have commitments with the book and the show. It's kept me from, I mean, we're very,
yeah,
very small operation.
Okay.
so to do the actual, you know, ongoing, you know, article writing and that kind of stuff has slacked off a bit.
Sure.
But just people who come because of Google or, yeah, you know, or they find out about us on social media, I'm happy that we've been able to maintain an audience, and with the newsletter and the, you know, we're on Facebook and everything, people can sort of keep in touch. This is the kind of audience where people come, they get the information they need, and then they go travel, and
yeah,
then they, you know, then they're pros, right?
Yeah.
Then they go off and they're having the adventure that they're supposed to have. So I sort of fill that, you know, facilitator role where I just help give them the tools, give them the knowledge to keep going, and then the push, yeah, and then go.
Oh, that's fantastic. I think it's a really important role, because, you know, like you're saying, we're pretty much in this, you know, immediate lifestyle.
Yep.
Or everything, like you say, but you're using this immediacy to provide people with the information. It's a Facebook, the website, Twitter, newsletter. I mean, basic social media spam. I mean, that's what I call it. It's like when I get someone on the show, I'm like, yeah, well, I'll start spamming you with all the details. You know, but it's true. And we are bombarded continually,
yeah,
with all this information. But you are doing it. You're using your powers for good.
I hope so. That's the goal.
That's very good. I like it. And now you did mention just now all about the. You did mention about the show. Tell us about this show.
So the initial idea. So when I first started getting into blogging, this is what I wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
I really worried a lot about, okay, how am I going to make money at this?
Mm-hmm.
And how am I going to actually earn a living? And I had started to read, this was back in 2009, I started to read a lot of articles about people using video,
mm-hmm,
on YouTube specifically to make money. I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. And career breaks are still sort of up and coming, especially in the U.S. Not as much in the U.K. It's a much more mature market.
Sure.
People are more used to doing it. But in the U.S., Canada, Australia, and I thought, well, I can use video to show people what it's really like on a career break.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see this idea for what is now the Career Break Travel Show, where I go to different countries and I show off different types of travel experiences. People volunteering, people walking the Camino de Santiago, people volunteering in mm-hmm. Patagonia, etc. And talk to volunteers and interview them and show people what it's really like and then give them advice on how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
The initial concept was to do webisodes,
yep,
and to sell each sort of episode. And
yep,
that really didn't work out so well.
Okay.
Luckily, because I'd been out there, and this is just the value of just letting people know what you're doing,
yeah,
an old colleague of mine contacted me and said, hey, I know somebody who's involved with this channel, and they're doing something with independent travel, and you guys should talk. And it was literally
fantastic,
that sort of informal.
Fantastic.
And it was a Facebook message, just like, oh, yeah. And it's somebody I hadn't talked to in months, maybe even years. So I reached out, I talked to her friend, and before I knew it, they said, send us an episode. yeah, we like the episode. Okay, when our channel launches, we want you to be one of our first TV shows that are on the channel. And that was a few years ago, and now this year, it's now called the Venture Channel.
Yeah,
has now launched, and we're one of the first shows on the channel. And it's the Venture Channel is specifically focused on independently produced TV shows. So it's produced by quote unquote real travelers,
yeah.
People who are out there. You know, we don't have big budgets. We don't have big production. You know, lots of cameras and whatever. Yeah. People traveling with us. It's, you know, I film my entire series just me.
Yeah,
For better or for worse, and that's the kind of content. So there's people who do, you know, travel around in hostels. They're, you know, they're, of course they're, you know, food and travel, and there's all kinds of things. And this type of format really fits me, and I think my audience really well. So it's not a bunch of, you know, a lot of the cable channels now, at least in the U.S., they kind of started in one place, whether it's the Travel Channel or History Channel or whatever, and they have these shows that you just look at and go, okay, maybe they're entertaining, but I don't know what they have to do with the core of why that channel exists.
Yeah.
And so the Venture Channel to me is just launched this year. Right now you can find us in the U.S. and in Canada on Roku if you have a Roku box.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch it free on, if you have an iPad, there's an app called Vidora, V-I-D-O-R-A, Vidora.com. You can download their app for free. You can subscribe to the Venture Channel for I think it's still free right now. Over time,
it will change.
It'll change. But right now you can see it free. And this Vidora, they have all kinds of other channels as well. So it's not just the Venture Channel. You can get all other kinds of content for free as well on your iPad, wherever you are in the world.
So I can download Vidora on my iPad. I can look for the Venture Channel, and then I can find your show.
That's right.
That's right. And it will be a career break show.
That's correct.
Excellent. And so, I mean, my wife has an iPad. We shall do this, because I now I'm curious. And so those people out there, again, curious, we'll have to do this too. And you're going off soon on a book tour as well.
Yeah. I
mean, what don't you do?
Well, now that we have... So we started the blog in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
My book came out, The Career Break Traveler's Handbook, which is part of the Traveler's Handbook series, came out last year, 2012. And then this year, The Career Break Travel Show is launching.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to actually be leaving Colombia, unfortunately, but be traveling around the U.S.
Yeah.
and be doing a promotional speaking tour through the western and central part of the U.S. next year.
Wow.
And we'll be stopping off at several major cities and spending like a week or 2 weeks in the cities and doing small intimate events where we talk about how you take a career break and just enough to get you inspired, enough to give you enough information if this is something you want to do, because you're curious, and then kind of get you going, okay, yeah, I want to do this. And then I will give you, as for coming, you'll get a copy of my book, which will then be the platform for you. That'll be your tool guide to actually plan your own career break.
Now, will you be talking at like big corporations or universities or what? Where exactly are your locations?
Our idea, we're still working on that.
Yeah.
But the idea is I really want to. I've been spending the last few years behind a computer screen with the blog and the writing. It just, you know, to produce all that content, you have to be seated a lot, unfortunately. I want to change it, and I want to get out and meet people.
Yeah.
So we're going to do small intimate events of like, say, 30 to 50 people.
Wow.
And we'll do several of those within a city.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to, not only do I want to get up and, you know, do my thing and talk and help people, but I want to hear their stories. I want to hear about what their concerns are. I want to hear about what their dreams are and kind of have that one-on-one interaction, face-to-face interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the idea behind this. We won't be going, hey, we're at the whatever stadium. That's not the idea.
Okay.
It's to be small, intimate. You know, you'll get to talk to me. You'll get to, you know,
questions,
and it'll be interactive. And yeah,
fantastic.
That's the idea.
So we're talking career break secrets here with Jeff Young, a Texan who's made his home for the recent years in Colombia, but he's heading off to the States. He'll be at some venue near you next year in 2014. We're going to take a short break now. I'm Richard McCall. This is Colombia Calling. Don't go away.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control health care, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable health care, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Searching for freedom? The sustainable community in Chile is found at FreedomOrchard.com. Quiet, peaceful, and pristine are some of Freedom Orchard's outstanding features. Freedom Orchard offers recreational activities, organic farming, and self-sufficiency for water and electricity. Well-known Chile expert, free market economist, and radio host of Red Hot Chile, Dr. John Coben, is heading a team of developers, organic farmers, and seasoned professionals to make Freedom Orchard a reality. FreedomOrchard.com, for when you're serious about your freedom.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. I'm Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network. We're here with Jeff Young, who's the, well, as I said before, the brains behind CareerBreakSecrets.com. We've been talking about his book tour, well, the speaking tour that's coming up for 2014, where you're doing the central and western United States. So not the East Coast, those of you out there, but central and western United States. You'll be able to see where he's going, what he's doing, where he's presenting, I guess, on the website. You'll have everything up on there, won't you?
Absolutely. And in fact, we have our first event that I'm doing in mid-January. It's sort of like a little tester event just to kind of get us going. So that is going to be a little bit more one-man show, more entertainment, more stories from travel kind of oriented versus direct advice about how to take career break. Mm-hmm. But if you're in Central Texas, January 17th and 18th, in a little town called Fredericksburg, which is basically between San Antonio and Austin in the Hill Country. Please.
That's where you're from.
That's where I'm from originally. So it's just sort of why I'm starting there.
It's the glorious homecoming.
So I'm going to go back to my hometown to get started. Yeah.
Very good, very good. So you've been traveling around. You're going to be doing this. And we've been talking about the webisodes. We've been talking about the TV show. Now, the blog, I mean, I have looked at the blog a lot, and I've commented on a few things, because there was one thing I remember a long time ago about the Falkland Islands and all the sort of protests that you'd written about it, so I wrote, you know, my two cents of thoughts, because I'd obviously been there, and being from an English background, let's not get into the socio-political situation and so on and so forth, but how do you keep it up to date? Because there are a whole lot of bloggers out there. I mean, everyone's a blogger today, or everyone's a travel writer, and that's been one of the main problems of our profession, in that, you know, we get not even graduates and not even people who just top 10 lists or whatever come out, and they can write for $20, or, you know, I've got 15-20 years of experience behind me, and I'm sorry, not out of arrogance, but I just can't, you know, I've got to maintain a family and a business and what have you. But do you have invitation bloggers posting on Career Break Secrets, or is it just your baby?
I don't go out and solicit other writers or bloggers. Mm-hmm. However, I do have a policy that if a writer or blogger, or most of what I get are career breakers, mm-hmm. who are getting ready to travel, they start up their blog and they're really proud of their blog and they want a little bit of exposure to other career breakers, and they'll say, "Hey Jeff, can I write an article about X?"
Yeah.
I'm happy to do it.
Okay.
I don't have a budget to really pay for mm-hmm. other people to, but if people want to, if they think there's value in putting it out to my audience, I'm more than happy to do it. I think that you touched on a really interesting issue for, certainly within travel, and I think mm-hmm. it's probably true across all types of journalism. It's just, but I think specifically travel, people expect the information to be free.
Yeah.
And that then causes all the publishers and all the companies who produce content to then, you know, offer really bottom barrel pricing on what they're willing to pay travel writers.
Yeah.
And it stinks because then there are also the rules about can you accept freebies or can you not accept freebies? And for blogging, if a blogger wants to make it, they have no choice but to accept freebies because they don't have... there's not another budget from an editorial board coming to pick up the tab for the flight, the hotel, etc. Mm. So then you get into all those issues about, well, are they really writing about how they really feel about a place, or is it being influenced because they got the night comp to the hotel? Most of that, I think, is overblown a lot.
Yeah,
I think the bloggers that I know and mm-hmm. the ones that I follow, they tend to be really clear about, hey, I got this for free, I did this for free, and they write so much content that one trip isn't going to influence their, you know, how they think or how they write about their audience. And they have an audience, and they're very protective of their audiences, of course, typically. Now, it can happen that if a blogger works, you know, I do see the danger if a blogger works with a company that represents several destinations or several hotels, and they, you know, they work harder to protect that relationship than worry about the readers.
Yeah.
But I figure the readers will probably leave them if they feel that the blogger has gone too far to being, you know, a mouthpiece or a marketing arm and not giving you the real deal.
I recently went through and culled some people off my Twitter feed, which was too much promotion. It was just too much. You could see. Yeah, and that's fine. I understand. I did press junkets when I was a young journalist.
You're still young.
But it was fun. But I won't do it anymore. I'm not interested because, you know, I feel it's difficult for me to be honest. And that's what we talked about. I said, you know, I'm not interested in talking about a 400 thread account on sheets in my bed anymore. But, you know, if I always come back to this one quote by a US war photographer who was killed in El Salvador, so Jim Hoagland, who said, you do something good, I'm taking a photo of you. You do something bad, I'm taking a photo of you. So make sure you do it, you know, good.
Right.
So that's always what I come back to when I think of the ethics of this sort of stuff. I mean, I think it's very, very difficult like today to have to be completely sort of impartial, especially when you're receiving something, when money has been invested to take you places. Or I know that the sort of Canada promotion thing sent a whole lot of bloggers out in cars and stuff. I don't know how much fun must that have been for the bloggers. And were I, you know, 22 foot loose and fancy free, I would have done that in a shot. But now my audience has changed, and also my outlook on things has changed. But so yeah, we're talking to Jeff Young of Career Break Secrets, and you know, his traveler's handbook. He'll be touring, he'll be going through central and western United States, intimate. And but you're going to be launching, I mean, you say you launch in Fredericksburg, which is in central Texas, in hill country, and you say, and you're going to be just talking to this is going to be the big splash. I mean, you're going to be in the local paper.
I'll be in the local paper. Yeah. We'll do local radio. I'll be doing a, you know, I'm setting up talk, sort of like little promotional talks, just for me to get out and remind people who I am. And it's been a while since I lived there, and even though it's a small town, I mean, my dad was a sheriff, so I went so deep there, right? But just say, hey, I'm back, and they got this show. So you know, I'll be talking to the local Rotary Club, and I'll be talking to the local, you know, I'll be doing those kinds of appearances as well, just to get back out and get known again around the community.
And will that be a big pickup for, do you think, for sort of career breaks in Fredericksburg? I mean, let's just take the sort of...
Well, that's why the Fredericksburg event is a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know, it's your typical sort of small town. Like, people are there, like, they're not looking to take career break, most of them.
Yeah.
You know, there may be a couple that want to do it. So that's why that event is going to be more focused on the travel stories, why I travel, what's happening with Jeff, you know, how did all this sort of happen, this guy who grew up in the small town. And, you know, and I've got friends and stuff who are coming in. You know, hopefully we'll get a decent amount of people coming in from San Antonio and Austin to come and see the show. It's close enough, and it's an hour drive, and, you know, there are lots of bed and breakfast for people to stay in and all that kind of stuff. But beyond that, then in San Antonio, Austin, those are our first two stops for the speaking tour. Those will be more a little bit more advice oriented. Yes, there'll be lots of stories and here's some crazy stuff that happens when you travel. But that's really to get people who either want to figure out if a career break is for them, to get them to go, yeah, this is something I want to do, and now I'm really jazzed about it, or to go, I'm ready to plan. How do I really get going?
Austin will have a good. You'll have a good client base there.
Austin's a very good travel community. Yeah. I've done a couple with Meet Plan Go. I did a couple of events with them, very similar, and we always had a great response from the Austin community. I mean, they're very outdoorsy.
Yeah.
People love to travel there. It's a good cosmopolitan mix, and San Antonio is that way as well. It doesn't have the same sort of reputation as does Austin. But that population exists in that city as well, and that's why we've included them on the tour.
Ah, that's good. And of course, I would assume major cities: San Francisco, San Diego, Los Angeles.
The rest of Texas we want to hit is Dallas and Austin, Dallas and Houston, and then we'll probably hit the Albuquerque, Santa Fe corridor in New Mexico. Phoenix and Arizona, and then you're right. Then we'll kind of go up the West Coast. We'll do we're planning on San Diego, LA, mm-hmm. San Francisco, up into Oregon, Portland area, mm-hmm. up to Seattle, and then kind of like zoom our way, kind of snake our way back to Chicago via Minneapolis, possibly nice. Salt Lake. We might even stop in Boise. Which is a smaller city, but I don't know. We're going through it, and I'm kind of curious. So I haven't spent a lot of time in Idaho. So I'm like, let's do Boise.
It's the potato state, isn't it?
It is a potato state.
Yeah, that's right.
But very beautiful. Yeah, lots of great mountains.
Well, I could imagine. You know, you may not know. Actually, I went to high school in the United States for a year in New Jersey, but I could imagine peers of mine being really interested in that. You know, at 37 years of age, with kids or married or whatever, I could really imagine. So, I mean, I think you're really going to find a demographic for this, and of course, it will only snowball, right? I mean, that's the idea.
That's the hope. I mean, that's the hope. I mean, hopefully, you know, we get off. I'm sure, you know, the first couple cities will be, of course, it's a new tour, so, you know, a little bit hard to get the word out. But the idea is that over time, we build the following. And of course, we're trying to figure out how do we engage our Twitter audience, how do we engage our Facebook audience, and how do we, you know, make this thing really interactive. So before we even get to a city, we're already interacting, talking to people in that city and getting them. Jazzed up.
But I think you're going to be hit on and again the social media. We'll come back to that. And the travel bloggers and the travelers in these cities, they'll pick up on this. They'll know what's going on. That's the idea.
That's
and with them, you know, with that information just being, spread.
I mean, one of the other things I want to do too is a lot of people ask. One of the questions I get in terms of where to go is, do I have to necessarily travel internationally?
Uh-huh.
And the reality is, you don't. I think you kind of need to get out of your home environment just to sort of like break away from your norm, so you can have the kind of sort of, you know, deep experience that people tend to benefit from a career break. But there's no reason you can't travel locally. So one of the things we're going to be doing is trying to highlight in each of the cities where we are.
Mm.
What are some of the cool things that you could do if you wanted to, you know, as part of your career break, include. And I think this could be helpful for people outside the U.S. who want to go to the U.S. as part of their career break. Mm. You know, when I'm in Phoenix, what do I do, or what could I do in Phoenix as part of, you know, during my trip?
Sure.
Why would I want to go there? And what are some cool things to do there? Or when I'm in Boise, for example, you know, why would I want to make that part of my itinerary? And hopefully we can, you know, maybe highlight some of those things in each of the cities as well.
It's just giving a different perspective.
That's right.
I think it's excellent. I think it's very good. And so we'll wind that down, and we, you know, so you're coming to an end of your life in Colombia.
Yes,
are you coming
and no.
back? No, okay.
Yes and no. So actually, before I go, I'm finally eligible for permanent residency.
Yeah.
So I will go and I will go and claim that.
Yeah.
And that will free me up, because I will no longer have the requirement of having to be in Colombia for 6 months. I can come and go as I please.
Fantastic.
Once I have that. So we're going to go and get that done. And then, yes, I will be gone for a while, but I'll be... I mean, I feel like I'm connected now to Colombia.
Once you have the residency, that's it. It's a gold card, isn't it? I haven't got it yet. I could have it, but until my visa runs out, I'm not going back to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, because honestly, to line up and do that things, and that's the thing that often comes up here in the shows when we talk about the bureaucracy. But I mean, you know, it's what happens. But have you got any anecdotes to share with us, Jeff, about the Colombian bureaucracy, or just, you know, can you smooth it over for people?
Yeah, I have one. Yes, there's bureaucracy here.
Yeah.
In general, I would say, compared to other countries where I've been and lived, like when I think about some of the bureaucracy I have to deal with in Argentina, when I think about some of the bureaucracy that I know exists and my expat friends talk about they have to deal with in France.
Yeah.
And certainly from an immigrant standpoint, what I know people have to deal with in the U.S., if you want to immigrate to the U.S., it's in Colombia. There are processes. The processes do tend to work. Yes, there is a bunch of papers. There's a bunch of things you have to file. But once you sort of get that and you understand what the process is, it will work. I mean, the fact that you can show up at the ministry maybe at 7 a.m. to get in line.
Yeah, of course.
But by noon,
you're done,
and you're going to have that residency, or you're going to have your long-term visa.
Mm-hmm.
5 hours in the grand scheme of it isn't that horrible. Now there are some weird quirks. Like, you know, once you get once you get your residency visa or your long term visa, then you can get your cédula, your identification, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that was a surprise for me was I got my cédula finally, which meant I can now open a bank account.
Yeah.
I go to Bank Colombia. They're doing the search. I fill out all the forms. Well, they can't find my cédula
in the system.
So I had to go back to DAS, which is now
Migración Colombia.
Yeah. And I said, they can't find me in the system. I don't understand. Oh, it's because you haven't registered your identification card with us.
But
my question is, okay, but you gave me this. Why do I have to register it? Oh, no, there's a big problem here with falsification of IDs. Okay, so, you know, $20 later, you know, about 45,000, whatever it is, you know, you go through the process, you get it registered, you finally show up in the database, and now I can open a bank account. But that delayed me, you know, a week and a half. Again, in the grand scheme, not a big deal.
Not so great.
But it's those little things that trip you up, and you just kind of go, I don't understand.
Yeah.
The same agency that gave me this now wants me to register this document that they gave me with them. You know, so there are those kinds of things that happen. But in general, it's not it's solvable.
Okay.
You know, and people who are working with the government in these processes, like they actually, I get the sense they actually do want to help you.
Yeah.
You know, they're not trying to screw you just to screw you, which can happen in other countries.
That's true. Well, very positive, very positive. About the first positive news we've ever had on bureaucracy here on Columbia Calling. Now, I'd like to take this moment and say thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff Young, for being here on the show. Now, look up, if you're thinking of going on a career break, careerbreaksecrets.com. Look up the show on the Vidora app on the iPad, and you know, take a break, you know, look at the website, get in touch with Jeff, he'll answer, or go and see him when you hear about it happening in your town, if you're in central or western United States in 2014, get in touch. So Jeff, thank you very much.
No, thanks for having me, I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. This is I've been Richard McCall, this is Columbia Calling. I hope you've enjoyed the show.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.